1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the resurrection day that we celebrate in Christendom. Thank you for a risen Savior. Thank you for your plan to send yourself down in the form of Christ to die for our sins, but yet raise again. God, please work in our hearts today. Do what's needed in each individual heart, and that can only happen miraculously by the power of God. So we ask that you anoint our pastor with your Holy Spirit power as he comes and preaches to us, so that our needs, what we need the most, will be met today. And God, if there's someone here that does not know this risen Christ as their personal Savior, I pray before they leave this room this morning, they would accept and trust him. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
This 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning, several times the question is raised, what if there is no resurrection? We celebrate on this Easter Sunday morning that Jesus rose from the dead. The same Jesus who died on the cross, 3 days and three nights later, rose from the dead. The same Jesus who said, if you destroy the temple of my body, he said, I will in 3 days and three nights raise it from the dead. If there is no resurrection, then what does that mean? In these verses, and I want you to keep your Bibles open because we're just going to go through a few verses here and show you what it means to you and I today if there is no resurrection. If this is just a religious exercise, but in reality, Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead 3 days and three nights later, then what does that mean? I want to go to the scripture very quickly, and I want you to follow it with me, please. At verse number 13, he says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Listen now, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, Jesus was a liar. If he did not rise from the dead, he said he would raise himself from the dead. A lot of people make a lot of statements in this life. There's a magician many years ago named Harry Houdini. And Houdini got involved in all kinds of forms of escape artists and different things. He did some incredible stuff. The one thing Houdini wanted to conquer in his escape artist magician abilities was to come back from the dead. So he told his wife, he said, if for some reason I die in one of these things that I do, and he did some really crazy stuff. They chain him up, put him in a canvas bag, drop him in a trunk and throw it in the lake, freezing water. And he'd get out of that thing. He said, if something happens and I die, I'm going to give you a word. And that word is just between you and me, and I will speak that word to you if I can come back from the dead, if I can at least speak across from the dead to you. He never did. A lot of great leaders of certain religions claim, and their followers claim, they've been reincarnated. And their followers now are following the reincarnation of their leader. But ladies and gentlemen, look at me. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, he did not say, my teachings will return. He said, I will come back out of the grave. And if he did not do that, then he's a liar. So this thing about the resurrection, this is not a theological difference. We're talking about the integrity of the Son of God, who said when he walked this earth, he would rise from the dead. And he kept telling his disciples that. He said, after 3 days and three nights, I will come. I'm going to Jerusalem. I will be crucified, but after 3 days and three nights, I will rise from the dead. Some of his own disciples didn't even believe him. But also this, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, ladies and gentlemen, he is dead. They're making their journeys now, the Muslim people. They're making their journeys to Mecca. They have their one great Hajj, their great return to the place where Muhammad's body lay. And millions of them will walk in a big circle dressed in white to walk around the body of Muhammad. And no question, it's his body. No question about it. He died, that's his body. He's still lying on that slab of marble. He's there. He is dead. They say you can go to the place where Buddha drew his last breath, the enlightened one. And you can go to that place. And many of those Buddhists make their pilgrimage to go to the place where he drew his last breath. But you can only go to an empty tomb. Because Jesus is not there. Because he is risen from the dead. But if he didn't, then he's just dead. He's just dead like Muhammad. He's just dead like the Buddha. He's just dead like all those people. That's all he is. There's nothing special about Jesus in the sight of many until you talk about a resurrected Savior. The Apostle Paul would be preaching about Christ and telling them how he died on the cross and was buried. And people said, okay, that's interesting, that's interesting. Crucifixion was a common thing in those days. 33,000 people were crucified in the lifetime of Jesus Christ. A little over 1,000 people a year in his lifetime in Palestine, they saw people being crucified. That was not uncommon, but there was nothing uncommon about Jesus' crucifixion. His crucifixion was paying for our sins and making the full sin debt payment that we owe to God. But when they preached a crucified Christ, people understood that. When they preached a dead Jesus, people understood that. But when Paul preached the resurrection, the Bible said some of them mocked, some of them laughed, some of them doubted the whole thing, and some of them believed. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, ladies and gentlemen, then he is still dead. But he did rise from the dead. And we sang it this morning. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Jesus Christ is very much alive. What does it mean if there was no resurrection of Christ? Now look in your Bibles again this morning, would you please? There in verse 14 it says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain." Vain means worthless and of no value. That means every preacher who ever stood up and said that Jesus rose from the dead, they are also liars. That means me too. For 35 years I preached a resurrected Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul talked about it. He said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. That means the men of God who walked then and every child of God who's ever said they believed that Jesus rose from the dead. We're reading a record this morning of someone who saw a resurrected Savior. You know, the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then every preacher who preaches the resurrection of Christ is a liar just like Jesus is. Then our preaching is vain. You know what we're doing this morning? We're just trying to entertain you on an Easter Sunday so you can get back home and find all those eggs that sunk in the mud while it rained. Can you imagine Easter? A rabbit that lays eggs. Is there something wrong with our educational system or what? A rabbit that lays, and then chocolate eggs. And then on the news last night, they gave a survey of somebody who did a study on people eating chocolate rabbits and how that 78% of people in America eat the chocolate rabbit ears first. I hope that wasn't a government study that we paid millions of dollars for, that somebody ate. Who cares what part of the stupid chocolate rabbit you eat? Does it make any difference? Who cares? Then that's what we're doing this morning. We're just here to entertain you. Here's some beautiful music from these young ladies, and listen to our choir sing and our ladies play and this young lady play on this instrument. We're just here to have religious exercise because this is all a bunch of junk. But let me tell you something, friend. When Jesus busted through death and stepped out of that tomb, not only is he the truth, but every preacher who preaches a resurrected Christ is telling you the truth also. Oh, look at verse number 14. And it goes further than just us preachers. It says, "And if Christ be not risen," verse 14, "then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Your faith. You mean your faith in a resurrected Savior? Nope. Your faith in anything. Anyone, anywhere, anytime, any place that has anything to do with the Bible, it's nothing. It means nothing. Then you know what? It's no different than what other religions do. You and I don't have anything to believe in. There isn't really any point then in the church stuff. There isn't any point in all of this. Listen to me. There will be no heaven then. There is no hell. There is no judgment day. There's nothing that the Bible says is true if Jesus did not rise from the dead, because you understand the Bible is not a book of a collection of thoughts. The Bible is the Word of God. And its integrity is dependent on the truthfulness and infallibility of it from Genesis to the Revelation. And you take any part out of that or disprove any part of it, and they never have and they never will, and they disprove any part of that book, you know what you've done? You've just torn the whole thing apart. See, the Bible isn't just a collection of things. The Bible is the completed, finished revelation of God's truth to us today. And it all has to fit together, every bit of it. Remember when after His resurrection, he met two disciples who were walking on the road to a city of Emmaus. And while he walked on this road, it was after Christ's resurrection, after people had said they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. These two young men are walking along, and they were disciples. Not out of the original 12, but disciples, followers of Christ. And they were talking to each other, and they said, I don't know what this means. We've heard He was risen from the dead. And some even said He told us He would, and I don't know what that means. And suddenly Jesus appears with them. And He walks along beside them. He says, "Why are you so troubled?" And they said, "Well, where have you been? Haven't you heard? Jesus, who we thought was a great preacher, teacher, He died, but they say He's risen from the dead. We don't know what that means." And do you know what Jesus said to them? He said, you guys, you old fools. And then the Bible said He went to the Old Testament, the prophets, and began to teach them about His resurrection. You see, if there is no resurrection, Christ did not rise from the dead, it doesn't just mean a portion of what is said about Jesus is not true. It means the whole thing's not true. Because He taught them from the Old Testament portion, the prophets, that He could rise from the dead and He would rise from the dead. And He used that. So that means if He didn't, the whole Bible's not true. Your faith is vain. Everything you were ever taught as a kid, it's all not true now. It's all emptiness. It's just religious words and psychobabble and stuff that people talk about. However, Jesus did rise from the dead. So then there is a heaven, and there is a hell, and there is a judgment day, and there is forgiveness, and there is salvation, and there is mercy, and there is grace, and there is everything this book says is true. Every promise we've ever clung to, every verse we've ever stood upon, every hope we've ever drawn from it, every encouragement that's ever been to us, it's all true. It's not something we've convinced ourselves of. It is, in fact, and indeed a living Word of God that's truthful today. It is infallible. It is inerrant. It is without mistake or error or flaw, and it's everything that you need in your life because it's an empty tomb. Oh, now look again at your scriptures, would you please? Notice what it says next, please. Drop down to verse number 17. "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain." "And ye are yet in your sins." Did you know the only forgiveness of sin and for sin that God will allow or accept is granted by a crucified, risen Savior? Go back up to the first part of the chapter. Look at verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all," he's going to give you 3 points to the gospel, here it is, "delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." That's the first point of the gospel. Jesus had to die in our place to pay for our sins, according to what the Bible says. "And that He was buried," second point. Third point, "and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." We won't take the time this morning, but you can go to Romans chapter 4, verse 24 and 25, and it says Jesus died for our justification and rose again for our justification. A resurrected Savior completes what is necessary to save us. Oh, by the way, and it finishes it. When Jesus stepped out of that tomb after 3 days and 3 nights, that's all that God would accept for salvation. A crucified, buried, risen Savior. That's what saves us. Jesus didn't come out of a baptistry. He didn't walk out of a church. And He didn't tell you to live a good life. He told you that salvation is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. That's why He says the gospel here. If you believe it, if you'll trust it, this gospel will save you, but nothing else will. My friend, maybe you're here this morning and you're one of these good, moral, righteous, decent people. Thank you for your morality. Thank you for your righteousness. And thank you for your decency. But all that makes you is a good citizen in this land. it will not gain you one moment in heaven. Jesus did not die a bloody death on the cross so you could be good and go to heaven. Jesus did not go to a grave and be dead for 3 days and three nights so you could get baptized and go to heaven. Jesus did not rise from the dead after 3 days and three nights, conquering sin and death and hell and punching a hole through death and stepping out alive so you and I could join a church and go to heaven. It's Jesus alone that saves us. And until repentance of faith, we turn to Christ alone for our salvation, we do not have salvation. And you're still in your sins. When you stand before God, I don't care how good you are, you'll be separated from Him forever. Because it's not an issue of your righteousness that saves you, it's an issue of your sin paid for that gives a person salvation. And my friend, the wonderful news is this. Jesus has already paid the debt for your sins. He did it at the cross. He has risen to complete what is necessary for salvation. You see, His death on the cross saves us from hell. His resurrection saves us for heaven. And everything that could save you is right there, what Jesus did. Is that your hope and dependence today? Oh, I pray it is. We're not Christians because we ask Jesus, because we talk to Jesus, because we're Christians because you come to Christ as a sinner needing a Savior and trusting Him for salvation alone and nothing else. You ask Him to save you, then He gives you salvation. You know, for a lot of people, that empty tomb is a stumbling block to them. They trip over that because they have a problem believing that, you mean you just trust Christ, you get saved? No. You depend upon Christ alone for your salvation and you get saved. But maybe it's a problem with you in salvation. Maybe you're not really a sinner like the rest of us. I'm here to tell you this morning, my friend, as a 9-year-old boy in American Baptist Church in Antioch, California, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Because even at 9, I knew I needed to be saved. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, you're yet in your sins, but He did. You have salvation provided for you today. You must receive that which Christ did by your dependence upon Him for your salvation. Look at verse 18. Here's maybe one of the saddest things about this thing of no resurrection. Then they also, verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Here's what that means. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, they're all gone. All those people who died before us in faith, they're gone. We went to the grave. I was at the funeral on Friday for Pastor Rule, a very dear friend of mine, his dear sister, my age as a matter of fact, who passed away after a very long illness. And after he stood beside her bed for 56 days in intensive care, she drew her last breath and crossed from this life to the next. She's gone. That's it. The cemetery is a final resting place for people then. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then they're gone. We can't even say they've gone to a better place. Grave's not a better place. They're gone. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, there is no eternal life. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, all your little moms here this morning who had children go to heaven from your womb, you'll never see them. They're gone. They're gone. That October 1st, when our granddaughter Claire drew her last breath before she even hardly came into this life, that baby died in birth. She's gone. We're never going to get to hold Claire and make all this stuff, all the sorrow that goes with the loss. It's gone. It's over. There's nothing there. I feel sorry today for people who have no greater hope than this life. We'll get to that point in a moment. Because if Jesus did not rise from the dead, He could not conquer death. And that means there is no life after death. They're all gone. All those who have died in Christ, they have perished. They're gone. You drive by a cemetery, you can go sit beside the grave there where a loved one is buried, and that's the best hope you're ever going to have. You're going to see their tombstone, and you're going to remember their lives, and that's it. They're gone. They're all gone. There's nothing more to be said. Every funeral service now becomes a permanent goodbye instead of a parting goodbye. That's all we have if Jesus didn't conquer death. But my friend, Jesus rose from the dead. And when He ascended back to heaven, He went to a place where He promised we could go there one day. And He promises, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, Jesus said, I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I've done dozens and dozens of funerals as a pastor. Fortunately, a vast majority of them have been people I knew were saved before they died or I led them to Christ. But I've also done funerals for people where there was no way of knowing if they had ever accepted Christ as their Savior. Oh, it's a different funeral, friend. It's different on the dear people that are there. It's hard to know. But how sad would it be if all we could say is, well, they're gone, and the trouble of this life is over, and that's all we can say today. No. Jesus conquered death. When he was dying on the cross, he had a thief on either side of him who were also dying for their sins, but not Christ. He died a sinless man. One of those thieves said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, too bad, son. This is the end. Too bad, son. I can't help you now. I'm also going to die and you're going to die and there's nothing else we can do. Too bad, son. I can't help you. No, Jesus turned to that thief in his moment of repentance and faith in Christ. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And that's not a town out of Chico, friend. That's a place called heaven where Jesus walks today. And it's a blessed place called heaven. Yes, they're not gone. They're just on the other side. That's all. We haven't lost anybody. We say, well, they lost a loved one. Well, you only lose someone you don't know where it is. We know where they are. They're with Jesus. They're saved. They went on with him. They're there now. Those little babies, those little loved ones, those kids that we didn't get to hold while they were growing up, they're all over there now waiting for us. In eternity of heaven, God will make up for all the loss we had here of time with forever there with them. Oh, God makes it right, my friend. It's a great day to know that Jesus rose from the dead. One last statement this morning. Go to verse number 19. Notice what he says. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Who's we? We who have just this life, that's all. I'm sorry for you, my friend, this morning, if you say, well, I'm just going to make the best of it and that's all there is, you die, you die. What great prospects you have. What great and how much you must be encouraged today. By the way, most of the time, those are young people who make that kind of statement. Not folks who are getting close to the end of the race. It's like all these people who, when they're 25, say, I don't want to live to be 90. I never met an 89-year-old who didn't want to. Blowing some serious smoke when you're 25. Well, yeah, that's way down the road. But I've never heard a 25-year-old say, I don't want to live to 30. If in this life only. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. God's blessings make this life a wonderful thing. I had a preacher, an old preacher years ago said, you know what, if salvation did not get us to heaven when we died, just being a Christian in this life would still be worth it. Thank both you Methodists. I said, just being a Christian in this life would still be worth it. Oh, yeah. Just have an answered prayer and the blessing of God and the peace of God in our lives and his help. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But on top of all the goodness of this life, there is a moment where we pass from this life to the next. And we drop this old mortal flesh and we rise to meet our Savior in the air. We either draw a last breath and step over by death or Jesus comes and we step up by his trumpet call. But one way or the other, this is not all there is. Because Jesus rose from the dead. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all most miserable. Our family's going to get together for an Easter meal today. We're having breakfast for lunch. Can I get a witness on breakfast for lunch? Biscuits and gravy and potatoes. And you say, that's not healthy. Shut up. Leave me alone. You want granola? Go get granola. I'm having biscuits and clogged the last artery I got, sawmill gravy. With biscuits with jelly in them. On the side with butter oozing out the sides. Oh, yes. I'm feeling something on that one now. Wait a minute. And orange juice and a glass of milk and bacon and sausage and all the stuff that you're not supposed to eat very much. I feel it coming on. I do. It's job security for all the people in the medical profession. Like once or twice a year I eat that, okay? Shut up. So you know what? You know what the truth of the matter is? Listen to me. And as much as I'm looking forward to having a nice lunch with my family today, if I leave this place and I get pushed out into eternity at a stoplight, My hope's still good because I serve a risen Savior. And death didn't conquer him, and death won't conquer one of his children because he rose from the dead. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Make it the best you can. Get as comfortable as possible because this is as good as it's ever going to get for you. But it just gets better for the child of God. Do you know that risen Savior? Do you know him as your personal Savior? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed, would you?